Amen. This morning, as I was thinking about what does it mean to have a song service and why do we fill our hearts and our minds and our bodies with the rhythm of hymns and praise music and songs, that I realized it's a tradition of the people of God, that in times of joy and in times of sorrow, in whatever time of the year it is, that we sing to the Lord, whether it's we sing a lament in those minor keys that I so love, and during Lent you're all going, do we have to sing another one in minor key? Or to the ones that have that real peppy beat and we get all excited because of the movement of the music. It made me think about Miriam. Miriam was the oldest of the children that we know as Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. Miriam's name has various meanings. There are some who say Miriam means bitter, some who say it means rebellious, and that's the Hebrew derivative of the name of Miriam. And it also means strong waters. Miriam was a very strong-spirited woman. But also in the time that the Levites and all of Israel were in Egypt, many of their names came from an Egyptian origin, not from a Hebrew origin. And Miriam in the Egyptian origin also means beloved. And I'd love to put the two together because her story seems to carry both. A beloved songstress of God, a beloved servant of God, who at one point in her ministry became bitter and angry and used strong language and ended up separated for a time being. But Miriam, if you remember, this oldest girl, 12 years old, is the one who took her baby brother, Moses, to the waters of the Nile and placed him in that basket and sent him down the river in hopes that someone would find him. Miriam, who followed him along on the edge of the river just to make sure that baby brother of hers. Can you imagine Hannah doing that for Braden, putting him in a basket and letting him go down the river? No, she wouldn't want to do that, and neither would Mom and Dad, but that's what they had to do, and they trusted it to Miriam, a 12-year-old girl who made sure her brother got found. Miriam, who is called a prophet in the scriptures as they come to the river, and at this point Moses has become the big prophet who's leading the people out of Egypt, and we have Pharaoh's army following behind, and he and Aaron and Miriam are the ones who have to share this story. Moses speaking the word, Miriam singing the word, so that the people are encouraged in this journey to the river. And imagine getting to that river's crossing and seeing those waters and knowing the enemy is right behind, and the fear that had to be there, and people like Miriam being the one to offer encouragement. And then when they get to the other side and the Nile falls on top of the Egyptians and devastates those who are going against the Hebrew people, Miriam sings. The prophet of Miriam in Exodus 15, verses 20 through 21. Aaron's sister took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea." Miriam, who made sure that triumph was honored with the glory that it deserved, with the excitement of singing. Doesn't singing do that to you? It just, we can pray and we can feel that connection with the Lord. We can hear sermons and our minds can be edified. But when we sing, it's like our whole body, mind, and spirit gets involved in the midst of the music. And Miriam is called a prophet in this passage, brings her people to that place of joyous celebration that God has triumphed. God has taken them out of Egypt, taken them from oppression and suppression into the journey into the wilderness. But that's where Miriam gets into a little trouble. As Moses is the leader And Aaron and Miriam are those voices, whether the speaker or the singer, of their leader's guidance. Miriam, at some point, gets angry and jealous over Moses and begins to speak out to her brother and maybe to other people. You know how when we start to grumble, we might grumble to one, and then we grumble to two or three, and then the grumblings, and then people say, "Do you know what Miriam said?" And the grumblings begin to spread. But God did a wonderful thing that God does. He called those three together, and he said to the other two who were leaders of the people, "Moses is the leader. Stop grumbling." So the one who sang for unity was creating disunity, and God said, "No, we're not going to be torn apart by jealousy, by anger, by criticism. We're going to be one people." And Miriam gets hit with leprosy. There's a consequence to her choosing to create disunity in the body. And for 7 days, this prophet, this singer of God's glory, is outside the community because she's leprous. And we hear that they loved her so much. Okay, this is their journey. They stopped journeying for 7 days. They waited for Miriam to be cured. The whole community waited. Think about this woman who had sung praises, sung encouragement, sung unity to her people out there, knowing they're delaying their journey because she may have spoken out of her own jealousy and anger and bitterness. Miriam returns to the fold healed. But what we never do is hear any more of her voice lifted in song. We never hear again that Miriam led her people in any way. But we do know she, like her brother Moses, she doesn't get to cross into the promised land. She too is buried in a tomb we don't know where, but given full 30 days mourning rites by her people. Because Miriam was an honored prophet in the people, brought back into the fold. But there's always a consequence when we choose to act against God, and Miriam received it. But Miriam was the first to remind us that what we do in the midst of trouble, in the midst of celebration, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of our lives, is that we pick up that tambourine and we sing and we dance for the Lord of hosts, the Lord who loves us so much that he died on the cross for us. The Lord who loves us so much, all he wants is our love and adoration back. So what we do, brothers and sisters, in a way to share that love and adoration is we gather together, because singing together, when you were singing "How Great Thou Art" in "Amazing Grace," it was an amazing sound that came up this way. And the looks on your faces were those of pure joy and wonder. God loves us enough. And music heals us. Music brings us to that place where God can reach into our hearts and open them up for him.